The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you show forth your almighty power chiefly by reaching out to us in mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace. Strengthen our trust in your promises and bring all the world to share in the treasures that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Okay, I'm going to teach you a lesson about who God loves. So I'm going to make, pull that back, Penny. Okay, I'm going to make this circle. And this is a circle that shows who God is loving. So get in the circle. Get in the circle. Stand up and get in the circle. See how many people we can fit in God's love. Oh, wait. Okay, can you get in, Cameron? All right. Oh, wait. I'm getting in this circle, too. Wait, is there room? All right. Deacons, can we? Because we know God loves you.
Bigger.
We know. Oh, wait. We have to make the circle bigger? Wait.
A lot of room for Steve.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's not change the circle. Let's see if we... Oh, wait a minute. So
Okay, I'm good too. All right.
So who does God love the best? Us who are in the circle or all of those people out there that aren't in the circle?
All those people love us. He loves us equally.
All of us. I want to show you something. You know what God does with this circle? So Madeline was making the circle bigger, but you know what God does with the circle? He doesn't even have a circle. God doesn't have a circle. He takes the circle and erases it and makes the circle go away because, why?
Because then he has to choose between what people he has to love.
And God doesn't choose which people God loves.
Make a giant circle around.
It's the whole, it's everybody. The universe, the whole everybody is in God's embrace. So sometimes we don't act like that. Sometimes we say, only these people I care about. I don't care about those people who are not in my circle of friends, who are not in my circle of friends. But God says, no, erase that circle. There is no circle. It's everybody. God holds us all in love, no matter what we look like.
He holds the earth.
Yes. So, off to Sunday school now. So, oh, rehearsal. Okay.
A reading from 1 Kings. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink. As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she said, As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, so that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 146 responsibly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in the last day their bodies perish.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, 'Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
I always get nervous when I have to read that passage from Mark's Gospel, when I stand here after a long prayer wearing a long gown, a robe, and I'm thinking, is Jesus talking to me? I hope not, at least not in that part. But I'm sure he's talking to me in the second part of that, the second paragraph about that. Maybe he was talking about Diane and Steve rather than me. So who is your model of philanthropy? I'm a big fan of Warren Buffett. Maybe because he's from Omaha, Nebraska, a Midwesterner like me. That's the only thing I have in common with Warren Buffett, let me be sure. He's a very humble man, but and a great philanthropist. He was getting an award a number of years ago, and he gave a speech in acceptance, and this is part of what he said. The truth is, I have never given a penny away that had any utility to me. I am very grateful for this award. I accept this award, but I'd like to accept it not only for myself, but for those millions of people who really give away money that's important to them, because they see someone else where they think they can do good. Well, most of us think of rich people when we think of philanthropy, and we're very grateful for the generosity of those who give to annual drives or make pledges or contribute to endowments. Lots of churches and organizations, universities, hospitals, they just couldn't exist without those generous contributions. I watched a program a couple years ago, and it stuck with me. One of the younger Rockefellers, it was about how seriously he takes his job of giving away money. He'd been raised with that understanding that he had a great responsibility to give back and to do so sincerely. Well, in some ways, these people are Buffett and Gates and the Rockefellers, they're good models of philanthropy. But there's a problem when we only have role models who are donating millions or billions of dollars. There's probably not too many people here who have that capacity, who consider yourselves among the very wealthy. Warren Buffett probably hasn't extended to any of us an opportunity to join his club called the Giving Pledge. That's a group of billionaires who have committed to giving away at least half of their fortune during their lives or at the time of their death. Buffett said at the same speech, to the billionaires, he said, "If you have trouble living on $500 million, I'm going to write a book called How to Live on $5 Million. Think about what that other $500 million might do for humanity more than it would do for you and your family. Most of us don't even dream about being able to donate money like that. If the Giving Pledge is our model or our only model for philanthropy, it's really easy for us to think that being generous is something that only the very wealthy do. We tell ourselves that our little check won't do much good, so we don't bother making a contribution. Or we say that somebody else can afford it more than we can. That's part of the responsibility of the wealthy. If it's not a bill that I have to pay, I'm not going to make that contribution. I keep using this word, philanthropy, and the dictionary says that a philanthropist is a lover of humanity. That's what it means to be a philanthropist, is to love humanity. And that brings us to a second problem if we are only using wealthy people as our role models. Because true philanthropy involves a risk, because loving involves a risk. The problem with measuring a donation in terms of its monetary value is that we forget to look at its personal cost or the risk. So who should be our models for loving, our models for philanthropy? Our scripture lessons today seem to give the answer to this question and say it's poor widows, or people like these poor widows, who take the risk to give everything, in fact, to give their whole lives. But if we really look at that gospel passage today, maybe it's not about philanthropy at all. Maybe it's about something else. What if Jesus isn't using the poor widow as an object lesson or as a model of philanthropy? You notice he doesn't say, go and do likewise to the disciples when he points out this woman. Perhaps the point of this passage isn't the comparison between the poor widow and the rich others, or between her offering and that of others, but maybe the point centers on the simple fact that Jesus notices her. Mark says that Jesus was watching the crowd putting money into the treasury, and that many people were putting in large sums. And despite that fact that she is just one in this crowd of people, and that many people were putting in significantly larger sums, Jesus notices her. Jesus draws attention to her. And whatever it is that Jesus wants his disciples to learn from her, maybe the most important lesson is simply to notice her, to see her, to acknowledge her as a person, to acknowledge her situation and her offering. She is not an object lesson. She's a person, easily unseen, even invisible, a poor widow, yet worthy of Jesus' attention and ours. So who are we not seeing in our daily lives? Who have we forgotten or ignored, looked past or overlooked? Who is it that God is inviting us to notice, to recognize, to honor, to respect? Who is it that we have made an issue or a cause when, first and foremost, they are people? David Loos, who's one of my favorite scripture commentators, a pastor in Minneapolis, another Midwesterner, he said, championing the poor is one thing, but knowing the name, taking the time to care about a specific person who has very little is another thing altogether. The truth is that each of us, no matter what our status or wealth, each of us has days, or maybe many days, when we feel invisible or unremarkable or not worthy of attention. And yet, Jesus sees us, deems us worthy of God's attention. And then, because God sees us, because God notices us, we are freed to give that same compassionate regard to others. Today is Veterans Day, the 11th day of the 11th month. And the 11th hour today marks 100 years since the end of World War I. On this day, the warring nations declared an armistice and ended the fighting. And for 100 years, nations have been observing this day. And in America, we call it Veterans Day. Today, we say, thank you for your service to veterans. And to a large number of veterans on the streets or who are suffering addiction or from mental illness, we also say, you are noticed. You are not forgotten. It's a shame, a sin really, when we do not see others as genuine persons deserving love and respect, when we do not see others as humans because we've been taught to fear or despise them. We're likely to treat them inhumanely, which is a sin, a shame, a crime. This penchant to simply ignore others or to view them as fearful or even less than human seems to be increasingly prevalent. Whether it's a migrant caravan or persons who are incarcerated, those who are trapped in poverty, or those whose ethnicity or sexuality is different from our own, these are people. Jesus sees them, just as Jesus sees us. And this is both the command and the promise of this gospel. Jesus didn't use that poor widow as an object lesson on philanthropy. And we don't have to try to figure out what does this all mean. Who is she in the gospel passage? We just, like Jesus, need to see her and all of those who are like her today, to see them as fellow children of God. And that's hard. There are just so many people that deserve to be seen. But it starts with God's promise that God sees us. God regards us. God lifts us up and equips us as the beloved children of God. We are both called and capable of seeing others as God's precious children. I started the sermon this morning asking you about the role model for philanthropy, a lover of humanity. Well, Jesus is our model philanthropist. He gave everything. He gave all that he had for our sake. And he sees us. And he frees us to see others. With Jesus as our model, we can pray that we live generous lives and that we see others, all others, as fellow children of God. Amen.